This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flato here at Notre Dame's DiPartolo Performing Arts Center in South Bend, Indiana. And you know, we talk a lot about bacteria on Science Friday, if you listen to our show. These bacteria in our gut, we call the microbiome, are big news these days. There's anxiety, obesity, cancer. The microbiome has a role in all of these diseases. But bacteria are also very active in the soil, and understanding them is part of a new frontier of plant biology in soil and plant biology. My next guest is researching the plant microbiome. Gene Romero-Severson is a professor of biology at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
You know, as I said before, we hear a lot about the human biome, but we don't know much about the plant microbiome. Why is that?
Well, I think part of it is because we take plants for granted. They're green things. They sit there. You hear people say, dumb as a potted plant. And yet, we're finding out that just like we have bacteria all over our skin, some of which are beneficial, plants have bacteria on their leaves, on their stems, in their roots. And plant biologists have known for a long time there are some bacteria that help plants fix nitrogen, but that's about as far as it's gotten until we came along, me and my colleagues.
And so what did you discover? What did you and your colleagues discover?
Well, what we did was there was a terrible outbreak of foodborne illness in Europe, and it turned out to be a really nasty form of E. coli.
That food poisoning?
Yeah, food poisoning. People died. 53 yeah. people died. At least 53 people died. And it turned out it was a new strain of E. coli, came in through probably contaminated water, and it was fenugreek sprouts. And my colleague Sean Lee and I thought, well, people have been eating bean sprouts for thousands of years without dying. Why is that? Let's get some beans. Let's get some bean sprouts. Sprout them. Let's put some bacteria on them and see how many colony-forming units per milliliter of water you need to grow E. coli on the bacteria. That was our plan.
Uh-huh.
But it didn't work out like that.
Serendipity somewhere stepped in.
There was, because as good scientists, Sean is a microbiologist, me as a plant biologist, and Josh Shroud as an engineer, we all knew you have to have a control, right? So we're going to take our seeds, we're going to put them in bleach for 10 minutes, we're going to rinse them in alcohol, sterile water, make sure we've gotten rid of everything on the seed, all the surface contamination. And then we were gonna just grind up the powder as a control,
right,
just to test to see, did we do a good job of this sterilization, right? And then we had all these other experiments planned, but we never did them because bacteria grew out of the control.
Wait, but didn't you clean off all the...
Yes.
You put them in bleach, I would think that would kill
them. We cleaned off everything.
So where did the bacteria come from?
We did this experiment over and over and over again. They came from inside the seed.
In the seed?
In the seed.
Inside the seed.
Yes. Is that so hard to believe? We have a microbiome inside us, but people don't think of plants as having anything going on the inside of the plant, only that they provide the food for all the rest of life forms on Earth. But they have inside the seed. It took us almost 2 years to prove to ourselves that this was really true, and it's really true. We isolated a bacteria. We knew this was going to be something special, and there was one that swarmed all over the plate.
Wow.
It had a behavior we've never seen before. We thought, that one, let's sequence that one. So we sequenced the whole genome, and it turned out that this was the species of bacillus that associates with plant roots, but it wasn't known to colonize the inside.
So what is it? What is it doing beneficially inside?
This is what we think it's doing. This is what our data suggest. If you take this bacteria, we call it C3, unimaginatively for the third colony.
Yeah,
that
scientists
we picked.
Are like that. They just put little letters.
And if you take C3 and you put it on a plate of E. coli, you get this zone of clearing like a donut. That means it's killing the E. coli. And if you put that C3 on a plate with two plant pathogens that are related in the same general big family as E. coli, it kills those plant pathogens. big zone of clearing like this. If you put that bacteria on a plate with Pseudomonas aeruginosa, a human pathogen.
Something I do every day.
Yes.
Right.
That bacteria, it just swarms all over it. Like
so it's
eggplant.
Protecting the seed from attack by these bacteria, maybe in the soil?
Yes,
so
that's
the seed
our
can
hypothesis.
Germinate and not rot or something while it's in the soil?
Yes, when that seed takes up water, it hasn't photosynthesized yet, it's helpless. It's totally helpless. It can't make its defensive chemicals. It's got to get up above the soil so it can photosynthesize, right? For 3 or 4 days, it's totally vulnerable. How can this possibly work? Everything in that soil wants to eat it. There's a whole host of bacteria and fungi that would like nothing better than to gobble that seed up. It's free lunch.
Well,
so how does it work?
I get it. I know what free lunch is or not about. How does the bacteria get in the seed originally so that you find it there?
So what we did to show that, it's plant microbiome interactions are difficult because if you grow the plant in dirt, there's thousands of other things in dirt. It's hard to pin anything down. So what we did was surface sterilize our seeds, put them on filter paper, and put a little shot of the C3 bacteria in the water that the plants took up. And our hypothesis was the plants, when they take up water from the soil, they take these bacteria up, and they take these bacteria up selectively. They can sense which bacteria are the good guys and which bacteria are the bad guys. And then the best thing was that this bacteria gets packaged into some of the seeds, not all the seeds, but some of the seeds. It's vertically transmitted. Wow. That's what we call that. So that means that the plant, it's an insurance policy. It means that even if this particular soil may not have very many of these protective bacteria, there's going to be some seeds that come packaged with them.
There. You know, I was a judge on the Google Science Fair this year, and
yes,
there were three teenage women whose project this year looked something exactly like this. They were dusting cereal grain seeds with bacteria that they found in the soil, and the crops sprouted weeks early, and the yields were increased by up to 75%. So this goes right along with what you're saying about bacteria in the soil.
Yes, and these were those three young ladies were very insightful because they were using cereal grains, oats, wheat, and barley.
Right.
Okay. And they were using rhizobium, which we understand as a bacteria that associates with beans, not cereals.
Yeah.
So why would you expect rhizobium to assist the germination of cereal grains? But it did, and not only that, they developed a hypothesis about why it does, and this has support in the scientific literature. It has nothing to do with nitrogen fixation. It has to do with something the bacteria makes. Should I tell you what it is?
Well,
sounds fancy.
In terms that we can all understand.
Well, you understand lipo-chito-oligosaccharides?
There you have it, folks. that's what it was. But they were saying that they thought it preserves the seed from rotting, just like you were discovering
yes,
that built-in seed bacteria were doing.
It stimulates that particular molecule, stimulates plant growth hormones.
Right. So does the soil filled? We love to talk about microbiomes and the soil microbiome. So the soil is basically, so to speak, fertile ground.
Sorry. Yes.
For studying all these bacteria that we have no idea what they do.
Yes.
In the soil.
The soil, I mean, a good farmer, a good organic gardener will say the soil is alive. And it is. There are millions of organisms in a little in a couple cubic centimeters of soil. And some of these get into us and are beneficial. Some, not so much. Some are invited into the plant. The plant just doesn't take anybody who comes to the door.
Right.
The plant can tell the good guys from the bad guys. So this is what's so exciting. We can, perhaps if you took a suspension of these C3s and you sprayed them on your sprouts, perhaps the sprouts that take up the bacteria, the nasty E. coli, maybe they don't have their protectors with them. And that's how the E. coli can get going. We can test all that. We haven't done it yet. This is a hypothesis, but we're very excited about it.
Because isn't it true that there's so many bacteria in the soil and they won't grow in the laboratory? That like 90% of the bacteria
yes.
in your soil, we don't know what they're doing because we've never been able to grow them in the laboratory.
That's right. Because of metagenomics, because we can take a scoop of soil now and extract DNA out of it and infer from certain sequences in there the bacteria that are in there, it's opened up a whole new world. There are organisms in this soil. Just because we can't put them on a plate doesn't mean they're there.
Right. Now, are we disrupting the soil? If we plow it through, are we disrupting these communities of microbiomes?
It's possible that the way we've done our conventional agriculture, I have to say it's possible because it's a hypothesis. I haven't shown it. That the way we do our conventional agriculture with plowing and compaction and salinization from irrigation, that the one of the reasons you get the yield loss and the problems is that the soil microbiome becomes depauperate. The good guys usually are the first to leave. It's like when your neighborhood goes downhill. The good guys are the first to leave.
Right.
The bad guys are the last. And we may be quite inadvertently doing this to our soil. Now, this requires controlled scientific studies, but it's worth looking at.
This was fascinating. Gene Romero-Severson is professor of biology at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana.